Whenever I speak, I always consider the audience that I'm speaking to. Here, when I speak week after week, I know you. I know you as the church family, those that are part of Freedom Church family, that many of you have been here for some time. But we have a lot of people coming and going as well over the weeks, over the months. People who happen to be in one place at one time. And so I'm not aware of where everybody is all the time. We've been doing a series this fall called Pentecostal. And we've been looking at what it means to be Pentecostal in the 21st century, that we are a Pentecostal church. And for those of us who are a part of a Freedom in Christ Pentecostal Assembly, I've kind of looked at this as a refresher, as a reminder of who we are and the things that we embrace, but also for people who are new to our church, maybe have not heard a lot of the things that we've taught over the years on different occasions. The more of God is really what we're trying to get across. There's more of God that He has for our lives. Just a quick question. How many have been coming out this fall and have really been enjoying the series on Pentecostal? Can I just see your hand? Yeah, so many. I won't ask how many aren't. How many of you are learning some things, maybe, some things? Yeah, you're learning some things. Maybe you've been around a long time, but you're still learning some things about what it means to be Spirit-filled, Spirit-anointed, Spirit-led. We've been talking about, from the very beginning, Pentecostal Church, our church as part of a larger group, the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, but all Pentecostal denominations in some way are rooted in revival, going all the way back to the second chapter of Acts and beyond. And at the turn of the 20th century and flowing through the whole century, even into the 21st century, talked about different things about being Bible-based in our beliefs, that we do what we do based on the Word of God. We've talked about equality in ministry, how the empowering and the anointing of the Holy Spirit enables people to minister for Christ in power, regardless of age, regardless of gender, and regardless of social status, that we have been enabled. And we've talked about that anointing for service to touch people's lives as Jesus did and continuing His ministry to the people around us. And we've talked about being inspired to worship, that our worship moves into a new dimension through the Holy Spirit. Today I want to continue on this journey, and I want to talk about being empowered to witness. And for those of you that are here today, I'm curious, how many of you, and there's no judging here from my part, Adele, but how many of you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit with the initial evidence of speaking in other tongues? Can I just see your hand? Okay, that's really good. How many have never had that experience in your lives? Okay, quite a number. Good. There is a real sense, and that's what I said earlier. I love to know who I'm talking to, the people that are hearing what I'm saying, and I have a sense of the audience on a regular basis, and that's just kind of a confirmation to me of who you are out there. I don't even remember who put their hands up and who didn't, by the way, but I did see the number and the percentage that was there. Pentecostals have always been passionate about spreading the gospel from the very get-go. From the very beginnings of the Pentecostal movement, there was this desire that people would come to faith in Christ. And we do this because we believe that we've been commanded by Christ to go and reproduce our faith in others. The Great Commission from Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 and 20, Jesus said, "Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you." That, my friends, is a huge undertaking. To take the gospel, to take the message of Christ to the world. going to the spiritually lost in our own communities and going to the countries around the world requires, I believe, an understanding of the implications of the gospel, that every person is eternally lost until they are saved by placing their faith in Christ. That's at the very heart of it. If we didn't believe that, there wouldn't be any reason for us to be involved with the Great Commission. It also requires us caring about the spiritual lostness of people enough to personally be willing to do something about it. It's not just enough to know that this is the reality, but we have to want to do something ourselves. Not only that, but we have to be able to lead people to faith in Christ and to disciple them after they come to that saving knowledge. We have to be able to teach them and train them how to follow Christ for their lifetime, how to know and live out the gospel full time. We also need to learn as practitioners of the Great Commission how to recognize the convicting work of the Holy Spirit in someone's life. Because we talk to a lot of people throughout any given day, and not all of them are being wooed by the Spirit in that way that brings them really close to reaching out. And those that we do recognize are at that place, we have to have, as Christ followers, the ability to articulate the gospel clearly and simply to them. And then not only that, but to stay with them and to help them to get them established in the faith, being a model for people to follow. There's also this need for all of us who claim to be Christ followers to be able to teach new believers Jesus' teaching, what he has commanded us, in order for them to obey it. So in order to teach that, we have to know it. And it requires a commitment to studying God's word. What does Christ actually teach? You need to study God's word until you own it, until it becomes part of you. And you need to develop the ability to explain how to apply God's word in any situation. It's an incredible experience watching new believers or newer believers growing in their faith and becoming competent enough to help others to grow in their faith. It's an amazing thing. So how is this undertaking even possible? Because I think that most of us this morning would admit that doing this competently is beyond our capabilities. Like, just what I've talked about, if you've been listening, is way beyond most of us. I don't think there are very many of us in this room who think, oh, I've got all that covered. I can do all that. Yeah, that's no problem for me. Yeah, check, 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 check. I've got that. Yeah. I think that if you're honest, you'll say, wow, I'm always overwhelmed by that when I think about the responsibility that I have to be a reproducing follower of Christ. I do. That gets me every single day of my life. So how can we actually do it if we want to serve Jesus well? I think the first thing that can help you in this is to realize that you're not on your own. That we're all in this together. This isn't a one-person operation. Jesus didn't say, one person, you go and reach the whole world for Christ. And if anybody says that, that God has called them specifically to reach the whole world, they've missed it. He's called all of us together to reach the world for Christ. We do this together. We depend on each other to accomplish the task of the Great Commission. And the other thing that you need to realize that you probably do already, but I just remind you today, is that Jesus gives us transforming power to carry out his mission. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is an experience that changes our perspectives and our values. That is, we have, through this empowering presence of the Holy Spirit, an increased love for God and for others. We've just been singing that song, more love, more power in my life. And that's what it's talking about. Lord, I need more love in my life for you and for others. And I need the power that you have available for me to live the way that you want me to live, but in order for me to serve as you want me to serve. And this is what happens. Jesus gives us transforming power to carry out our mission, increased love for God and increased love for others, including those that are lost, as well as the power to move past our fears and speak and live the gospel message with confidence. These are Jesus' words, and as he made the promise to his followers. In Luke chapter 24, 49, he said, I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. Quite a picture. I hope you get a sense of that. Clothed with power from on high, from heaven. And then he also says, just before he ascended into heaven, he said this to his followers in Acts 1 and 8, similar words. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And when you read scripture, you see that's exactly what happened. Acts chapter 1 goes on to record that Christ's followers did what he had instructed them to do, and they went back to Jerusalem as a group of about 120 people, and they waited and prayed for the gift of the Holy Spirit that Jesus had been talking about. Now, they had some clues what this might be like. They were students of the Old Testament, and prophets like Isaiah had already talked about this thing that was going to happen, and there would be signs that would be given. And the prophet Joel, of course, also talked about that, as Peter would later in the day talk about in the day of Pentecost, that there would be this empowering presence given. Realize that these were already Christians that Jesus was talking to, already Christ followers, already people who had put their faith in the Lord. The Holy Spirit was already living in these people. This wasn't the time that the Holy Spirit was going to come into them to be resident in them. If you go back into John chapter 20, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he says, peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. These were people who were already followers of Christ. They were already those who had the Holy Spirit living in them. But Jesus was talking about something different. He said, I am looking to you now to carry out the work that I've been doing. And here's what he said, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. And in those words, we see the answer to our dilemma. We see the how to do the what. The how is the power. The power to witness to others. The power that most of us don't have in ourselves. The power, supernatural power. To do what? To witness to others about and for Christ. Supernatural power to do supernatural ministry for Jesus. The people in the upper room, the people in Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost, were ordinary people just like us. Very much like us, regular people. They were in love with Jesus. That's why they were there. And they were wanting to do what Jesus had commissioned them to do, which was carry on his work, to do the Great Commission. But they, like us, were feeling less than confident in themselves about their ability to do it. We see that in the fact that they were clustered together and almost hiding from sight, from people, not sure what to do. And yet they were waiting. They were waiting in prayer. They were asking God to do what he had promised to do. This is exactly the point of the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit. Supernatural enabling to do kingdom witness and work. And it's more than enough power. It's not just enough power. It's more than enough power. Everything about God is more. The more you press into God, the more you seek God, the more you make yourself available to God, the more you get and receive from God. There's always more. As much as you've experienced in your life till this moment, there's more. There's more. There's always more. And for those who will ask for more, God will give more. More than enough power, because God is unlimited in any way. And it's perpetual power. It's power that can help you go the distance. It's power that will fuel the passion within you to be obedient to Christ and his commands. The Greek word dunamis is the word that English words are derived from, like dynamite and dynamic and dynamo. And when you think of those words, what's your picture? These are people that have power at work. These are people that are passionate about whatever it is. These are people that see explosive power. And the supernatural power is what the Holy Spirit gives for carrying out Christ's mission to save and transform a lost world. And like the 120 in the upper room on the day of Pentecost that were empowered and released into kingdom service, we too can be empowered. Ordinary people being used by God to do extraordinary things for Christ. I can tell you this from my own experience. Pretty much everything I've done, as long as I can remember, has been way beyond my natural comfort zone. Pretty much everything I've done. To put myself out there for Jesus to use in any situation, I've been doing this for decades. And as long as I can remember, most of the occasions that I was finding myself in were not what I would have chosen. They were beyond me. They weren't in my comfort zone. But this is where the Pentecostal message is so important for you if you feel like me. Ordinary people being used by God to do extraordinary things for Christ. The first example that we see after the day of Pentecost, this empowering, pouring out of the Spirit of God upon the 120 in the upper room, is the Apostle Peter, who steps forward and you hardly recognize him. Here's this guy with newfound boldness to speak up for Jesus to a crowd of people that are questioning what's going on. And you read through his address to the crowd that had gathered, intrigued by the strange sounds that were coming from these people. Strange sounds of worship, of praise to God in all kinds of different languages. And yet when Peter explains to them what's going on, he said, all of this has a central focus, and that central focus is Jesus. Jesus crucified, Jesus risen from the dead, Jesus ascended into heaven, Jesus coming again, be ready. The miracle worker, the prophet, the teacher, the healer, the crucified one because of unbelief, the one who rose from the dead and now sits in heaven. And the Holy Spirit shows us what he can do with somebody under surrender to him. Peter, in unprecedented clarity and confidence and boldness, proclaims the gospel and calls the listeners to repent and believe in Christ as their Lord and Savior so they won't be lost. I wonder how many in the audience that Peter was talking to in that moment recognized him or were aware of his denial of Christ just 50 days earlier. The one that we all remember, if we've been to church at all, for any length of time, Peter's three-time denial of Christ as he was being taken away to be crucified. I wonder how many people that he was talking to 50 days later, 7 weeks later, recognized him, said, well, is this the same guy? Or is this the guy we heard about? Is this Peter, the fisherman, the guy that was following Jesus, the guy who denied Christ? Of course, we don't know. We don't know. We can only assume how many of them now saw Peter and recognized his before and after picture. And there he was, professing unashamedly his belief in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as the one and only Savior of the world. That, folks, is the picture of the enabling power of the Holy Spirit evidenced in someone who is filled, baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's an example of the more that God has for you and me. 2 weeks ago, Pastor Tracy talked about the anointing of the Spirit of God, the prophetic anointing to do the greater things Jesus said his followers would do in his name. Living out the daily practice of giving oneself in surrender to Christ as a servant and being open, willing, obedient, available for the Holy Spirit's presence and ministry in every situation for service. In essence, the greater things that Jesus said his followers would do, not in their own strength, but in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. So then, who's eligible to receive the supernatural empowerment of the Holy Spirit? Who's eligible? Every true believer in and follower of Christ. That is, everyone who has been born again is already indwelt by the Holy Spirit. The gift is not available. This gift of the empowering baptism of the Holy Spirit is not available to people who are not believers in Jesus, who are not followers of Christ, in whom this Holy Spirit doesn't already dwell. It is given to those already in Christ. It cannot be bought. It cannot be sold. There's a story that's told in Acts chapter 8 about Simon the sorcerer, who was very impressed with Philip the evangelist. Philip was going about preaching the gospel. There were signs and wonders, miracles taking place, confirming this preaching. And people were so taken by it that they were putting their faith in Christ. And he was, this Simon, who was a sorcerer, was also impressed when Peter and John showed up in Samaria and prayed for the Samaritan believers to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit that they had not yet received. And Scripture tells us that upon praying for them, Peter and John praying for them, these Samaritan believers were empowered by the Holy Spirit. And so impressed was Simon the sorcerer with what he saw that he offered to pay the apostles to give him the same gift. But of course they rebuked him and told him to repent. Your soul's in danger. You're not genuine. You're not real. This empowering, impressive gift is not for sale. It can't be bought or sold. So how did Simon the sorcerer even recognize that the Samaritan believers had been baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well, there was an outward, external evidence. He saw it, as it had been evident in the believers on the day of Pentecost, and it was evident in other times in the book of Acts. What was it? How do you know when you have been given this extra power? What is the initial evidence that you have that confirms that God has given this to you? Well, like those in the book of Acts, you begin to speak in a language you've never learned. This could be a few words, could be much more. In essence, you speak, you're still praising God. You're speaking to God, and at some point the Holy Spirit takes over. And you begin to speak in a language you have never learned. It's pretty much that simple. What we do know from the Bible is that tongues are praise to God. In Acts 2 and 11, the people who were listening to the 120 speaking in all kinds of different languages realized that they were speaking in their language of the place that they were from. And the message that they were speaking was praise to God. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues, they said. And that, in essence, is what praise really is. Worshiping, acknowledging God's greatness. In fact, the Apostle Paul points out that those who speak in tongues are in fact speaking to God, 1 Corinthians 14 and 2. The speaker doesn't know what he or she is saying, but the Holy Spirit is giving the speaker the ability to communicate with God supernaturally. And there are three basic uses of tongues in the New Testament. I cover this in the Life and the Spirit course. If you've taken it, refresh yourself in it. But I do go into this, so I'm not going to go into detail today, just to point out that there are three basic uses of tongues in the New Testament that a lot of times get confused. There's the initial evidence of it being baptized in the Holy Spirit that we've just been talking about. There's also a special language that is assisted by the Holy Spirit in prayer. Romans 8, 26, 27 is one reference. And then there's also a manifestation gift occurring during a gathering of believers in worship like we are today, or a smaller gathering, bigger gathering, doesn't matter. Somebody speaks out so that everyone else can hear them speaking in tongues. When that happens in that particular scenario, then that message has to be interpreted. There's another gift that God gives to bring an interpretation so that everyone in the room can understand what has been said. And when that happens, when there is a message in tongues that's given and an interpretation that comes, it in effect has the same edification that a word of prophecy spoken in the group's native language has. I'm going to be talking a little more about this in a couple of weeks, actually, when I talk about maximize through gifts. The other two uses of tongues do not require interpretation, because this is communication between the speaker and God. The confirmation that someone has been baptized in the Holy Spirit, whether they speak a few words or they continue to speak in them, or praying with the Holy Spirit's assistance in accordance with God's will, is communication between the speaker and God. And it doesn't require interpretation either, because it's between the speaker and God. I'm going to be talking some more about that next Sunday when I talk about confidence in prayer. But regarding the baptism of the Holy Spirit, tongues are a sign of God's gift of empowerment for a witness of Christ. And I point out the fact that it is the initial sign. The initial sign. There are many, many, many more evidences, signs, that someone is filled with the Spirit that follow after that initial sign. We then, as we open ourselves to God, must be careful. And I say this out of a lifetime of experience in the Pentecostal church, praying with all kinds of people in this regard, and my own experience. We must be careful as people asking God for this gift not to get fixated on tongues. That becomes a problem. In other words, God, give me tongues. That's not what you're praying for. Our focus must always be on Christ above all else. We want to be more like him, so we want more of him. We want everything that he has, which is a daily pursuit, not simply a one-time experience. But it is very easy to get distracted by tongues or focused on tongues instead of focusing in on Jesus and worshiping him. That's the key. The tongues take care of themselves. God, by his Holy Spirit, is the one that enables us. We're not the ones that work this up in any form. So be careful. Be careful when you're praying that it's not about tongues. It's about more of God. That Christ is the focus. We've referred to in over these weeks about Roger Stonstad's book, The Charismatic Theology of St. Luke, the first edition of that in 1984. It's worth the read. It's still available on Amazon.ca if you're interested in it. The Kindle edition is $10. You can't get the original copy like I have, because I got it when I came off the ark and it was given to me. And so a lot of the books that I have are that old. You can't get them anymore because they're not in print. But you can get many of them on Kindle. The point about Roger Stronstedt and why it was such an incredible work, and we've talked about that. I spoke about this in some length in the message on Bible-based beliefs. But in the book, he addresses the Holy Spirit's activity in the Old Testament. And then he zeroes in on the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts written by Luke. Hence, it's called the Charismatic Theology of St. Luke. The Gospel of Luke, the book of Acts. The prophetic enabling of the Spirit-filled believers. The progression of the Holy Spirit-empowered ministry of Jesus being now available to all of Christ's followers. This prophetic enabling by the Spirit of God helps men and women and boys and girls give testimony about Christ in a way that they couldn't in them and of themselves. And it will be accompanied through supernatural enabling, prophetic endowment, dreams, visions, prophecy, signs, wonders, the Bible says. The fact is, this stuff is already happening in many parts of the world. You've heard me talk about that before. Thousands of people every day are being reached by the witnesses of Jesus, enabled by the Holy Spirit's power. And the gospel message being accompanied by supernatural evidence. And as a result, people are seeing God at work and putting their faith in Christ. People are being added to Christ's church daily by the droves, many countries of the world. I want that for our community. I've always wanted that for our community. I want that for our country. It's the only thing that's going to save our country. Just think about the potential when every one of us is empowered by the Holy Spirit to witness for Christ. We go out every day confidently showing people who Jesus is and what he can do through anyone's life, through the words and actions that we show. The baptism of the Holy Spirit then is a more of God experience. That is, we not only have the Holy Spirit living in us as believers, which we do. If you're a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit already lives in you. But we become filled with the Spirit. Or, as Jesus also said, clothed with the Holy Spirit. Obviously, that brings personal blessing. I experience more of God's presence when he fills me like that. That impacts me. That changes me. And so that's a wonderful thing. And as a result, my worship to God is ignited and amplified, whether in my native language or heavenly one. My praise is uncontainable. That's a wonderful thing, but that's not the end of it. There is another motivating part of the experience, and that is that I am now clothed by the Spirit of God to share my faith with others. I now have a prophetic anointing upon my life to speak clearly and confidently about the gospel. I'm anointed for selfless service for others to build up and expand God's kingdom. That's why I want this, not just for a personal experience that I can feel blessed. I will be blessed. But I want this because I want to be obedient to the Great Commission. I want to give my life in full-time service to Christ. Wherever I am, however I live out my day, whatever that looks like, I go about it every day. Whether I go to school, whether I go to my workplace, whether I'm in the community, the neighborhood, whether I'm traveling, wherever I am, I now have this anointing upon my life. I want that empowering presence in my life every day. How about you? In a moment, I'm going to pray for you who want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, his presence and your power and his power. If you've been filled with the Spirit, the book of Acts says that they continually were filled. They kept being filled with the Spirit. In fact, the Apostle Paul tells us that in Ephesians chapter 5. Keep on being filled with the Spirit. So if you've already been filled and you've already had this experience, you've already seen this expansion into these dimensions, these new dimensions of life in the Spirit, I say pray every day for more and more and more. That's what I do. A long time ago, when I had my initial encounter like this with the Holy Spirit, and every day I pray the same, fill me afresh. Fill me afresh. For this to happen in your life, you first of all have to want it. You want to have the gift for empowered service. You feel compelled to go out and live out the Great Commission in your life. The second thing is, you have to be a follower of Christ. You will never be baptized in the Holy Spirit unless you are one who is following Christ and comes to him for his empowerment through the Holy Spirit. And the third thing is, you have to ask. You just have to ask. Ask God to fill you with his Holy Spirit. Keep the focus on Christ. Again, don't pray for tongues. That's another thing. That's something that I'll be talking about in a couple of weeks. The gift of tongues in a gathering like this. God, I'm available for you to work through. That may be a time. That's not this. This is, I want more of you, God. Do focus on Christ. As you praise God, as you keep praising God, just continue to ask Him, God, fill me with more of yourself. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and power. Make yourself available. And oh, that all of us will be prepared with power for kingdom service. Think of the potential. Think of the potential for all of us. And that's my prayer. And so, I encourage you today. If you know what I'm talking about, if you've experienced that in your life, just in these next moments, say, God, I want more. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, as I've been talking about here today, and you have a real heart and desire to make your life count for the kingdom every day in an increased measure, just begin to pray, Lord, fill me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit's presence and power. And just keep praying and asking and praising God. Will you stand with me this morning? I'm going to close in prayer and give you opportunity to do that very thing. Lord in heaven, we come to you today just as ordinary people with an extraordinary task. We have, most of us in this room, from what I know or think, are followers of Jesus. We have chosen to follow you, Christ, that we have given our lives to, and we love you. And we're actually here this morning because of our love for you. And so, Lord, that's who we are. We stand here before you. If there are those in this place, Lord, that aren't followers of you, I pray that you would draw them to yourself by your Holy Spirit, that they will confess you and choose to serve you as Lord of their lives. For all of us, oh God, in this room, we realize that we need you, more of you. We need more of you in our lives. We need more love, more power to grow and develop in our ability to do your kingdom's work. I know there are many hungry hearts here today, Lord. I know there are many people who just want more of you. I'm one of those. I want all that you have for me always, Lord. And so I'm going to make myself open and available to you and surrender. I just pray, God, that you would move upon everyone. Everyone who responds even now and says, Lord, fill me. I pray that you would come and you would fill every vessel, every life in a very special way. Praise your name.